when we think about this. He's writing in this time of deportation. People did not want to be there. Was there any time in the past week you said, I do not want to be in Portage? I do not want to be in Wisconsin. Didn't want to be outside. Okay, can I just share this with you? I have lived 10 of my adult years in Florida. I grew up in Indiana, so that's why I start talking. People say, you aren't from here, are you, boy? No, I'm not. No, ma'am. No, sir. But I've been in the South, and people say, you're not from here, are you, boy? You're a Yankee. But I grew up in Indiana, but I've lived coast to coast. I've lived in the Bay Area of California. I've lived in the metro area of New York City. Actually moved there. I lived there before moving here, but I've lived 10 years in Florida. Great places to live down there. But you know what? Everywhere I've lived, people complain. Did you know that? I lived in Florida, beautiful Orlando, Florida. People in Orlando, Florida say, oh, for a cloudy day. Please give me a cloudy day. Your prayers are answered today. Get some vitamin D. You're right here. You're good. Okay? But you get my point. You know, there's all the time that you feel deported. You feel like, hey, where's God at in this? And this is what, why did they get deported? Why did all these bad things happen to Jerusalem? So the first point is admit what we've done wrong. A, admit what we've done wrong. Point number one, what does that look like? Well, I tell you what, if you're going to have a relationship, whether you're married, you want a dad, you want a mom, you want a son, child, cousin, aunt, uncle, whatever you have in life, number one word that you're going to learn to have a relationship in this world is, I am sorry. Sorry, right? I apologize. We have five levels of, there's five love languages. We also have the five levels of apology. It goes something like this. I'm sorry. JJ, have you ever said sorry to one of your brothers, but you didn't mean it? Of course you have. And then you have to say, will you forgive me? Is there any way that I could make this up to you? See, do you see how the apology can go deeper? So God knew that the children of Israel had a lesson to learn. Well, what did they do wrong? Well, they turned to idol worship. They started sacrificing to Baal. And this actually occurred over a long period of time. And they became spiritually bankrupt. And you heard of King Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good king. His son Manasseh, he turned away. Then his son turned it even further. They even made Baal the official religion worship of Jerusalem. So you see, they turned away from God. And God said, well, this is how we're going to fix this. And this is one of the most important events in human history because we can learn lessons from other people. Now, this is not in the Bible, but it is in the Bible. It's in this verse. If you want to write this one quote down, it'll help you. It doesn't matter if you're in school or not, but I'm going to give you a quote that'll help you the rest of your life. If you've never heard it, or if you have heard it, it's good to slow down and think about it. And here's the quote. In school, the lesson comes first and then the test. In life, the test comes first and then the lesson. So let me say it one more time as you write it out, meditate on it, think about it. In school, the test comes first, and then the lesson. Oh, you already corrected me. In school, the lesson comes first, and then the test. In life, the test comes first, and then the lesson. So believe you me, one thing that we want to do is we want to slow down. Because like right now, all of you have something to do after church, right? You might have pre-Super Bowl activities, Super Bowl stuff. So if I just said, hey Dave, I'm going to come over to your house today. I'll only be there for 6 or 7 hours. Is that all right with you? Yeah, sure it is. So no, you need to get rid of me. You need to move on. Hey, Doug, seriously, I'm going to hang out 4 hours with you, okay? That's cool. But you get it. You're in a hurry. I'm in a hurry. We're all in a hurry, correct? So part of what we have to do in American culture is we have to slow down. We have to chill out. So one thing I've learned also, and this is just a blessing that you are as part of River of Life, part of the Southern Wisconsin Baptist Association. We've seen our churches go from 13 churches in 2005. Today we have over 33 churches. We have Hmong churches. We have Korean churches. We have Liberian churches reaching the nations of West Africa. We actually have an Ethiopian Eritrean church, 75 people meeting at the basement of Midvale Baptist this morning here at 11 o'clock. What I've learned about other cultures is, like for the Hmong world, for example, they say, we're going to accept Jesus as our group savior. What do we think of as Americans, English speakers? We say our personal Lord and Savior, right? Not our group Lord and Savior. But we live in a thing called the Western culture in the United States. So in Portage, Portage is still part of Wisconsin, still part of the United States. I know sometimes we're independent, right? But we live in the Western culture, and we're very individualized. We don't think of ourselves as River of Life Church. We don't think of ourselves as a group all the time, right? But part of what we have to do is we have to start thinking more like that because we are acting as a body. And what I'm finding out is if you do something, I find out about it. If I do something, you find out about it eventually, right? And we really need to think about this. And this is really like a corporate sin that Israel is dealing with. Because I'm sure there were people that didn't turn away. Wouldn't you have to imagine? Do you believe everybody turned to Baal? Probably not. But guess what? Everybody got deported. And God said, you have lessons to learn. Now, one thing I've learned is godliness with contentment is great gain. That's talked about in 1 Timothy. And Jeremiah 29 says this. If you could turn to Jeremiah 29, it talks about this contentment. My dad had a saying as I grew up. He's lived in the same house for 46 years. This past year, about this time last year, my mom passed away, and they asked my dad, are you going to downsize? He lives in a 5,000 square foot house. He says, no, you'll be carrying my dead body out of this house. Not going to leave, not going to move. Brownstown, Indiana. Center of the universe for him, right? Okay, Jeremiah chapter 29. If you could go to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 4. This is what God said. Now, this is said 349 times in the Old Testament. Thus saith the Lord. All right, today I hope you will not hear, thus says Mark Millman. The word of the Lord has come to Mark Millman through the scriptures, and it's coming to River of Life. The word of the Lord is coming to River of Life right now through the scriptures, but not through Mark Millman. And in Jeremiah actually said, the word of the Lord has come to me 157 times out of the 350 or so in the Old Testament. So he said it a lot. Pick it up in verse 4. This is what the Lord of the armies, the God of Israel, says to all the exiles I deported from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Find wives for yourselves and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters to men in marriage so that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there, do not decrease. Pursue the well-being of the city I have deported you to. Pray to the Lord on its behalf, for when it thrives, you will thrive. Okay, translation. Pray for Portage. When Portage thrives, River of Life will thrive. For this is what the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, says. Don't let your prophets who are among you and your diviners deceive you, all kinds of people saying good things. And don't listen to the dreams you elicit from them, for they are prophesying falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them. This is the Lord's declaration. For this is what the Lord says. When 70 years for Babylon are complete, I will attend to you and will confirm my promise concerning you to restore you to this place. So you guys have a little marker here. If you can't see it, you probably need to sit up closer. That says, this is the verse we're about ready to read. It says, plans to give you a hope and a future. So that's what we're going to pick up in verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. Plans for your well-being, not for disaster, not for another polar vortex or getting stuck in it. To give you a future and a hope. You will call to me and come and pray to you. Pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. I will be found by you. This is the Lord's declaration. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and places where I banished you. This is the Lord's declaration. I will restore you to the place from which I deported you. So point number one was admit your mistakes. Point number two is reflect on what has happened. R, an art of learning from mistakes. Reflect on what has happened. reflect on what we're doing wrong. Could it be possible that even me, sweet little flexible wonderful me, I've got sin in my life? Well, just ask my wife or my two sons. They'll tell you a lot of sin real quickly. But we have to pause and take time to root out that sin in our life. And it's not going to happen when we just go from one thing to the next. We have to slow down. That's where we talk about if you have a quiet time in the morning. You know, we talk about having that daily. Let's say you have it once a week if you have never started. You have it twice a week. But you just pause. You take time. You come in here to church, and it's just you and God. And God's working on you. And you take that time to reflect. Then T is to take steps to change. And this is where I don't want to tell you every step you need to take to change, because I really don't know most of you. I don't know the good and the bad you're doing, but God does. And you know, this is not just about, oh, they're worshiping idols, they're going to get punished. This is about a relationship with God. And that we find the gospel in this verse, in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40. In this whole event of the Babylonian captivity, we find the gospel. What is the gospel? That is the covenant that God has with us, that through Jesus Christ, he came, died on the cross, and through his redemptive work, we can have eternal life through his resurrection, his victory over the grave. Amen? Jeremiah chapter 31 best illustrates this new covenant more than anything else in the book of Jeremiah. So if I could just read, if you could turn to Jeremiah chapter 31, we're just going to read the first few verses. It says, at that time, if you have a heading, mine says, God's relationship with his people. And that is what this is all about. So today, we're going to invite you into a relationship with Jesus Christ if you've never entered that. So I think like grace, faith, you guys are going to Tanzania to invite people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. The gospel is motivating you. The Great Commission. Jeremiah chapter 31, he talks about that relationship. At that time, this is the Lord's declaration. I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they will be my people. This is what the Lord says. The people who survived the sword found favor in the wilderness. When Israel went to find rest, the Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued to extend faithful love to you. Again, I will build you up so that you will be rebuilt. Virgin Israel, you will wake up your tambourines again and go out in joyful dancing. You will plant vineyards again on the mountains of Samaria. The planters will plant and will enjoy the fruit. For there will be a day when watchmen will call out in the hill country of Ephraim, come, let us go up to Zion, the Lord our God. So when I think about T, I think about take steps to change. You're not going to walk away from this sermon, this message, this passage, and not walk away here changed. So here in this room, we probably have believers and unbelievers. Usually it's majority believers coming to a worship service. But we talk about two processes in the Bible. We have justification. That's once and for all delivered to the saints. The truth has come into your life. You live a totally different life. And sanctification is we get dirty as we go along the way. That sin has a toll on us, and that we have to experience that forgiveness, that cleansing. And so today, I don't really know what it is you do need to change. And some of you actually need to start something. So in my little world of coaching, we talk about a few different things. We say, what do you need to keep? What do you need to get rid of? What do you need to quit? And then what do you need to start? And, you know, only you know the answer to those things. So I think about the weather. We're talking about the weather. You know, the largest church in the state of Wisconsin in our denomination, Southern Baptist Life, is Jacob's Well in Eau Claire. It started in 1999. It averages about 2,000 people. And that pastor, Paul Berthume, he talks about if we spend all our time trashing the weather, we're not going to lead a lot of people to Christ, are we? But you know what? You could use the weather to shovel snow. You could get the slush off their sidewalks. You could do all sorts of things. I can't tell you what to do. But God has to lead you. But you get what I'm saying. God is, this is the relationship with God. Ask him what these questions are for you. What do you need to hang on to? What do you need to get rid of? What do you need to start? As we talk about all this, I also just want to say this. What do you need to learn? What do you need to learn from this passage? Perhaps, you know, if you're like me, it's like, I've read this, but I've never really read it because I didn't really slow down and read it. I didn't, you know, I just got one thing after another to do. But I believe God's calling a lot of us to slow down. And I would encourage you to think about and pray about that. Now, as we leave here today, I just want to say what's burning on your heart, whatever that is, could be saying, I just need to get in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to be singing a song here in a few minutes called I Will Need Thee Every Hour. And it's an old classic hymn sung by millions of people for many decades. And that is really what being in a relationship is that you need that other person. You need Jesus Christ. You need God. We all have a God-shaped vacuum inside of us. And I even find as believers, we often leave God out, and we can be very lonely as believers. So, oh, where's God at? Oh, I didn't take time to listen to him, take time to pause. And that's what we want to do. You know, I was, just want to share this with you is that, you know, it's the relationship is personal, and it's also group. It's both. But you have to do your part in responding to what the call is that God's calling you to do. So if you will with me, as we just pause and we just meditate, just going to pray, and as the worship team comes forward, I just pray you would just ask God to ask him where he's working. So if you will, if you just bow with me. Father, I do just pray you would just help us let these words sink in on us. You would just encourage us to go where we should, stop us to go where we should not. Lord, help us to be in a relationship with you that is redeemed only through the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, not by what we've done or what we can do or what we've done in the past, Lord, because you've forgiven us. Lord, I do pray if there's anybody here that needs to get a hold of the gospel, Lord, that God, you're working in them. I pray that they would talk to me or one of the leaders in this church. I pray that that would take place. Lord, I pray also, Lord, for those that are believers, Lord, that just need to pause and slow down, to take time to reflect on what's happened, to admit what they've done wrong, take steps to change. I pray that they would do that also, just during this time, during this day, during this week, over the course of the next month. God, I pray you would just be at work now as we sing this song, as we, Lord, just come to you, just as we really do just seek you now. As the passage said in Jeremiah, we want to seek you with our whole heart. Just ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll stand with me, please.